You're listening to a podcast series from Vietcetera Production. Vietnam is forecasted to be one of the fastest growing economies in Southeast Asia and the world. To understand the dynamics behind Vietnam's miracle growth, Vietcetera meets with business leaders every week to discuss the country's future growth prospects. We also learn about how they build and manage teams and why they think innovation will be key to Vietnam's role in the world order. Good morning, guys. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hal. This is the second episode of the Innovator Show being hosted at our brand new studio. For those of you watching, for those of you listening, no difference. But thank you for all of your support over the last couple of years. The team has grown from the first studio that we had at Centec Tower in Ho Chi Minh City to now our studio here on Nguyen Hue Walking Street. We want to welcome our first guest, our guest today on the show. His name is Minh. He's leading the Time Group here in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. It's a global company, but they have most of their development resources here in Vietnam. I'll have Minh kind of share more about what they're doing here, why Vietnam, and whatnot. Minh, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Let's just start off with, you're Vietnamese, American.
Yeah.
Let's start with why you're here in Vietnam. A bit about a personal background, I guess you could say, and then why Time as well?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. So I was born here in Vietnam. I born in 1976, primarily grew up in California. Lived there pretty much all my life until about when I was 25. And then I ended up in Japan. Randomly, but it was playing semi-professional tennis.
Okay.
And spent about 6-7 years doing that, and realized that I need to start thinking about a career after tennis. So
you didn't make it to the pros.
Almost. I decided, hey, what's my next venture and where do I want to be? And long term, I wanted to be in Asia, and I also had an affinity to return to Vietnam. And that's how, uniquely I got into technology was I had a company that decided, hey, we want to open up a business in Vietnam, a software development business. Okay. And you seem to be the right candidate. And so, I took the opportunity to move to Vietnam. And this was started off in 2008 and was spending about half my time between here in Tokyo. And then transitioned here fully in, I think, about 2013-14.
Okay.
Along the way, spent time doing software outsourcing, right? Managing for primarily Japanese companies at the time, and then moving over to product, and then now fintech.
Yeah, got it. And let's talk about your role at Time. I mean, you mentioned you worked for a development company in Japan that brought you here to Vietnam. It was a fairly small one, it sounds like. Yeah. But Time is much larger. I mean, your scope has increased to like general management, essentially, for this big group. What does Time Vietnam do for the listeners that are listening in today? For those of you that might be searching Time Vietnam before listening to this podcast, big presence in Vietnam, but not a consumer presence. Yeah. So maybe you can share about that.
So maybe I'll take a step back and I'll explain what Time Group does, because it'll give a better perspective. So we call ourselves serial bank builders. And currently right now we have two banks in two countries. So the first one is South Africa, and the second one will be launching in the Philippines. Time Vietnam is the engineering and product hub for the Time Group. And so I like to say that's where all the magic happens, because we're the ones who build the product. It's a combination of product proposition, engineering, and innovation that goes into the product. And then we're the ones who are providing basically value to our customers.
Okay. Maybe we can talk about the plans for Time Vietnam. The business model here is more about the development and the product. But what do you guys hope to achieve with the team here in Vietnam?
So, you know, when I joined, this was about 13 months ago, mm-hmm. we were about 130 people, and now we're at 270. Mm-hmm. So we doubled in size. Okay. We'll continue to grow.
Wow.
You know, we're, as a technology hub, we have very interesting and complex problems to solve. So, you know, the first country was actually just in its way, in its own way, a very, I wouldn't say easy problem, but a very focused problem. We were building a banking platform for South Africa. Mm-hmm. This was in 2019 where we launched in South Africa. And now we've gotten to, you know, 3 years later, about 5 million users. Mm-hmm. And now we're going into the second market, which is the Philippines. And we're not planning to stop there. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to country three, country four, country five.
So you're building a playbook as you go and adapting it.
What we're in the works of building right now is, mm-hmm. is a multi-country banking platform mm-hmm. that will serve the needs of these multi-countries that we're, you know, that is going to be our customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll need a team that is skilled enough to do this.
Mm. Yeah, which is my next point. What makes Vietnam the ideal hub to build this tech business from here?
Yeah.
I mean, some of these engineers and the teammates that you have, they've never been to South Africa, potentially, yeah. or the Philippines. Yet despite that, the team is here. And I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for that. And what are they?
Yeah. So there's a bit of history that goes into time. Mm-hmm. Even though Time Bank in South Africa launched in 2019. Mm-hmm. The group in Vietnam, Time Vietnam, was actually acquired by Time Bank, the Time Group, I think around 2016-17. And that was from Commonwealth Bank of Australia. So the group that existed from that time already mm-hmm. had this banking expertise that we wanted to incorporate into our product and carry on. So, you know, even though we say like, okay, some of the company's only started 3 or 4 years, some of the members have been at Time for, you know, I think the oldest person at Time has been there for like 12 years, mm-hmm. right? And some of the more senior guys on average are like 5 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost challenging to explain the history to people because they, you know, when they look at the timeline. But, you know, we wanted to start off with a team that was already well vetted, mm-hmm. Already had experience,
yep.
and was able to roll out a product quickly. So with the Time Bank offering that we now have in South Africa, we kind of already checked off that box.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know that, okay, we're able to do it here, and let's raise the bet.
So some of the most talented emerging market banking experts from a technology point of view, are actually here in Vietnam.
Yeah.
It sounds like, yeah.
I mean, you mentioned. I want to keep that a secret
because I'm kidding.
But yeah, you know, I think our team is very talented in that mm-hmm. aspect, and so you know they're solving some very they've solved some very difficult problems and mm-hmm. will continue to solve some very challenging problems coming up.
Amazing. Okay. I mean, aside from South Africa and Philippines, just a side question. Emerging markets is the focus.
Yeah.
I'm sure Asia is on the top of the list. Yeah. Is there a plan already in place for other markets, including Vietnam?
Yeah, so we've talked to many countries right mm-hmm. now, focusing primarily on Asia,
mm-hmm.
And you know, Vietnam is you know one of the countries in the list.
Mm-hmm.
India, Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
Vietnam is you know we'd want to build a product here. Obviously, it makes mm-hmm. sense because the product team is here.
Mm-hmm.
There are challenges, yeah. right? Because there's a limitation in the number of banking licenses because mm-hmm. we are a bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
So very different than like other fintech projects. We're regulated like a bank.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to come in and either with a partner already with a banking license
mm-hmm.
or for some reason, Vietnam decides that, you know, they want to offer more banking licenses right, and make right. it available. So I think that's the issue why we can't, or mm-hmm. it's very difficult for us to launch in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
But with some of the other countries, I can't say yet, but we're very deep in discussions to getting mm-hmm. a license for country three.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, you guys are a fintech firm. There's, according to my notes here, 188 operating fintech firms in Vietnam. Some of them, I'm sure, are banks that are moving towards the digital space. Some have started as, you know, anything from e-wallets to neobanks, you know, there's so many classifications now. How does Time differentiate from these other fintech companies, not from a business model, but as a team culture or the way that the kind of company operates?
Sure. So that's a very good question. You know, when I look at fintech companies, including us as a digital bank, I see two opposite ends of the spectrum. So the first one is being kind of the startups, right, who are coming in and trying to kind of prove their thesis, mm-hmm. you know, trying to see if they can have product market fit and then, you know, roll out from there. Mm-hmm. And I see the other end where you know, you have the incumbents, the traditional banks, and they want to digitize. Mm-hmm. And we lie somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. So to some degree, we've already had pretty good traction in one country. We're trying to expand our footprint, right? And with that also comes with the culture. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the first 3 years was tough, as with any startup. And, you know, we've had a team that have already gone through and have already kind of been battle tested. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the culture. But, you know, the first part is let's just get it out. Let's ship and you know, let's hope and pray that it works kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But now that we've been able to do that, okay, well, we need to build better processes in place. We have more money, so we need to bring better talent. You know, so you know, for us, the culture is kind of taking what you've learned and then growing it as a business grows, right? And I think I mentioned to you earlier, but you know, for us, we're not expanding only in one market. So, which I call expanding vertically. Mm-hmm. I call like what we're doing else is horizontal growth. Mm-hmm. So for us, if anybody wants to work at Time, right? It's very interesting because obviously it's in banking, right? And that also differentiates from other fintech products because mm-hmm. we're highly regulated. Mm-hmm. So there's a regulation aspect, but for us, we need to conquer those things as we move into other countries. Mm-hmm. And the unique thing is, if you are a developer, right? You know, you can move up within your company if you know you've spent a certain amount of years there mm-hmm. and you build a certain amount of products. Yeah. In our company, right? What we're doing, you will naturally progress horizontally. So if you're building a lending product, you need to actually think that how will this lending product be not only supported in South Africa, but also in the Philippines mm-hmm. and whatever country three is and country four is.
Because of that horizontal trajectory of the company, a lot of knowledge transfer, the knowledge base you guys have built over the last decade is enormous, it sounds like, or the engineers that have been there for a long time. And yeah which is unusual because most fintech companies, people are moving over. Yeah, they have the practical, like hard skills, but not necessarily knowledge in fintech. I mean, it's still quite new in Vietnam at the end of the day. So
I mean, it's a very competitive landscape and you know, we're very lucky to have retained some of our you know, people. So
okay. So, you know. But you're always training new people too, of course, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you know, like I mentioned, we doubled our company size, you know, and that was, if you think about it, COVID mm-hmm. last year, everybody worked from home. Mm-hmm. So we literally hired over 130 people and their first day at work was actually from home.
Yeah.
So, you know, we like becoming more mature, we had to add in all these processes, right? Of onboarding and training and virtual meetups and things to keep the particularly the new folks engaged. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Launching this product in different countries, it sounds pretty easy, at least from what you described. I'm sure it's not. You mentioned regulation, you know, it changes per country. And I'd love to kind of delve into that subject a little bit. When you're talking horizontal growth, lots of countries on the list, but what are those check boxes when it comes to adapting the product you guys have built to different places?
So if you take a step back and you look at banking, banking in terms of offering is quite consistent across all countries, right? You have origination. Somebody creates an account, you have payments, right? You have points and rewards, you have lending, you have investment, things like that, that, you know, pretty much to some degree out of the box is consistent across all these countries. So what we're trying to do is that we know that there's these service offerings that we can to some degree roll out, you know, you know, out of the box offering. And then from there, you would customize a certain percentage of that depending on the need of the country. So, you know, you point out some obvious needs like, okay, demographics might be different, culture is different. So how does the user, you know, interface with that product will be different. So similarly, we have, you know, our design proposition where there's the brand consistency across the entire, you know, time group. Mm. So from country to country, that has to be to some degree consistent.
Yep.
But at the same time, it allows for customization that's unique to that, you know, to that country, mm-hmm. right? With respect to copy, mm-hmm. you know, copyright needs to be consistent with whatever people use, right? We can't mm-hmm. call a product in one country, but you go in another country, no one understands. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that might be offensive in other countries that, you know, you can't use. So I think we build in that flexibility. That's more at the customer facing level, mm-hmm. but then there's also kind of like the infrastructure level that, you know, a lot of people don't think of. So for example, payment rails, you know, we might be using a completely different payment rail in the Philippines as opposed mm-hmm. to a country, again, in South Africa.
Whenever you're in different markets, I assume you need a local expert to help, you know, advise the product and engineering team. Are those folks here in Vietnam when it comes
So how it works from a structural level is that we have the operating team in that country, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, we will call build and run. Mm. They're the operators.
Right, right, right.
So we have in South Africa right now, we have about 250 people or so doing the bank operations.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have to support the customers. Mm. And obviously that needs to be in real time. Mm-hmm. That needs to be communicated more effectively in their language. Right. So, you know, those people will also obviously do the other part of mm-hmm. the non-technical aspect of it, right? And the research and provide us input. And we work together quite closely with the teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different. I mean, to put it in more layman's terms for folks that are using these applications more regularly in Vietnam, it's like food delivery, right?
Yeah.
For instance, I mean, we're touching that product here in Vietnam a lot more than, you know, time. It's a different product, obviously, but it's different, right? On the surface, it's the same, but the payments, the logistics, it's all different.
So. Yeah. I mean, take, for example, the Philippines. Mm. You know, you have thousands of islands. So it's a logistic nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the core might be the same, but the delivery, you know, the third-party resources that you're going to be using to deliver it might be quite different.
Yeah, exactly. And Time is a pretty well-capitalized venture startup. You guys have received investment from Tencent, from BII, which stands for British Investment something, a big British group from the British government. And it's $180 million total capital raise. Yeah. Tell us about that funding round and why. Well, we'll start with why they invested in Time. Start there.
Yeah, so, you know, in 2019, we launched in South Africa. And we were... The first investment that came in was from African Rainbow, African Rainbow Group. And we were struggling at the start. Mm-hmm. We were the first fully digital banking bank in South Africa.
Okay.
And we were competing against a market that was, I would say, you know, very hard to penetrate, right? There were very strong incumbents, and so for us to be able to penetrate and grow to 5 million customers now, 3 years later, we were able to prove that we can challenge in the way that you know, our business model and it would not only work in South Africa, but most likely it'll work in these other countries as well, especially emerging markets. So what's unique to that, the value proposition for us is that we're not purely digital. So our partnership involves a retail presence, right? So usually a strong retail presence in that country. Mm-hmm. For example, in South Africa, we have what's called Pick and Pay and Boxer stores. I think they have combined, they have like a few thousand stores in South Africa. Mm-hmm. We're also partnering with JG Summit in the Philippines. That group alone, I think has something about 4,000 supermarkets and 9,000 shopping malls and residents. So they're massive. So how we partner up with them is there's then the retail outlets, and then we have hardware. So we have a kiosk. And so now you have what we call kind of what we say, bridging the physical and digital divide, right? Because in emerging markets, people are not as tech savvy. They're not just going to go and find your app on Facebook, download it, and then
there's a trust issue. Yeah, as well.
There's also a trust issue. So how we solve this is then we put these kiosks within our partner retail partner stores. And if you walk in, if you've never heard of GoTime, which is our bank, and now going to be launched in the Philippines, there's going to be a level of trust there because you say, why is there a kiosk in the store that I shop regularly?
Every day.
It's a big brand,
right?
Right. And so walking in, you say, okay, well, I can then create an account, fully KYC'd account in 5 minutes and have a debit card in hand. And that's powerful, right? So then I can use this card to buy and earn twice as the amount of rewards. Why would I not use it? And then other things that you can later find out, well, actually I can then also earn, you know, in the Philippines, I think it was something like 6 or 7% interest. That's actually better than most of the current bank offerings now. Why would I not do that? Right. So now that it opens up doors for most of the people, and you know, our mission is really to serve the underserved. Right. And it's like financial inclusion and really making access to capital, access to money available.
So in the case of the Philippines, you guys are launching a new bank entirely as well from the front.
So it's a joint venture with JG Summit. And so, you know, they're going to be benefiting tremendously from this because now they haven't really put any money in terms of like development capabilities, but now they have a payments and rewards capability just by partnering with us.
They've completed the ecosystem. Yeah. They have all these retail points and whatever they have already. Cebu Pacific, I think, is even a partner.
Exactly. So like I mentioned, you know, like with the 4,000 supermarkets and the 9,000 retail stores, we have a huge opportunity to reach customers where we never could have.
South Africa, you mentioned 5 million customers. I mean, that's like at least 10% of the population there, I think, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. How long did it take to go from 0 to 5 million?
So, you know, we launched in 2019. So
2 years. 2 to 3 years. Okay. And in the Philippines, what are some estimates there?
So this is...
I'm not sure that's your responsibility, but...
Well, no, I mean, this is part of our strategy, right? Yeah. So it's part of our learning strategy. You know, what we learned in South Africa, what are we going to take from those learnings and move it to...
Hypothetically, should do better on the next
level. And exactly. Yeah. And that's how we plan to do better. Mm-hmm. So we plan to reach profitability. Mm-hmm. So we're not profitable yet, but we plan to reach profitability in South Africa in 4 years. In the Philippines, it's going to be 3 years. And it's really just taking our learnings and focusing on certain demographics early. That can generate more money.
Right.
We're still trying to reach everyone, but prioritizing certain groups first.
What are those groups?
So we're prioritizing young urban area people, demographics, I think between 25 and about 35.
They're kind of like the Henrys. Do you know what that term is?
Yeah.
High earning, not rich yet. Yeah. I think for those of you listening right now, you've probably heard me say that a few times. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that's a great group to go after. They have some money already. They're not like rich, but they're looking to diversify their investments, optimize their investments, for sure. And those banking solutions at that stage, they're looking to get more innovative, I guess.
Yeah, say, with their money. And they're already educated in terms of we don't have to spend a lot of effort in terms of having them understand how to use the app, a user offer, right? And then from there, we build a base. In year two, we'll go to suburban areas. Year three, we'll go more to rural. So that's really the plan.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I hope to see that in Vietnam, hopefully at some point in a few years.
Yeah, cross your fingers.
Not time stamping anything, but you know, eventually. So we want to talk about the product a little bit more and taking into account the regional and demographic differences. So South Africa is very different from the Philippines. I would imagine the Philippines, it's like double the population probably.
Yeah, it's about a little over 100 million.
Okay.
South Africa is about 60 or so.
Okay, yeah. And it's probably a little younger.
A little bit younger.
A little younger. How do you take into account these differences when you guys are building your products? Do they differ at all between the two countries in terms of what you're offering?
Yeah, so, you know, there's certain things that we prioritize mm-hmm. over other things. So, mm-hmm. You know, for example, like I mentioned, you know, you have this kind of out of the box solution that's going to pretty much the be foundation. Consistent across all the banks, mm-hmm. right? You have kind of your payments, lending, things like that, right? Credit cards that are going to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And that will, you know, you have to, that should be a minimum to launch. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then there's other things that, you know, from a product offering that's going to differ. So, for example, we're going to launch what we call fractional shares and crypto offering. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and why? Because obviously there's more people in the Philippines spending money on crypto and they also want to get into investments. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so crypto being one, but also I think what's going to be really cool is a fractional share. So, you know, somebody who can't afford to buy, you know, a share of Apple mm-hmm. can now buy a tenth of Apple or 100 of Apple. So, mm-hmm. so those things are going to be, you know.
And that's not in South Africa.
That's not in South Africa right now.
Okay, yeah. Cool. But it hypothetically could be because
it could be. You know, to be honest, there's also the regulatory aspect mm-hmm. of it. So those things are actually easier mm-hmm. From a regulatory standpoint mm-hmm. to offer in the Philippines mm-hmm. versus South Africa.
I see. Yeah. Got it. The business has been around for a few years, but obviously the landscape and everything from fintech to regulation, crypto has changed. How do you guys keep up with all those and you know, that evolution? You know, maybe you can share more about how the product team thinks about that, aside from just using Twitter and, you know, whatever else to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I think. You know, if we take a step back and, you know, you can say your product is sexy and, you know, you build more and you have the, you know, the latest and greatest in technology, mm-hmm. that's all great and dandy. But if you can't offer a service that's reliable, you know, because at the end of the day, it's banking. Mm-hmm. If somebody can't withdraw money or, you know, put gas because your service isn't working, mm-hmm. then it doesn't matter how sexy your product is going to be. They're going to churn, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to leave your product. So we really focus on kind of some of the core principles that, you know, whatever drives our decision really needs to be from a product perspective. We need to have our products always available and reliable, mm-hmm. right? The second thing is then, are we providing the best service mm-hmm. to our customer? Like when they go in the app, are they having the best experience? And you know, the list goes on, but I would prioritize those two. And then actually finally, like, would they be willing to come back and use your product again with mm-hmm. this experience, right? Mm-hmm. So with technology and what we're trying to do, we need to try to fill in those gaps because those are the outcomes we want. Mm-hmm. So we're not just going to say, hey, we're going to change our technology just because it's the latest and greatest and cool. Is it really going to solve this problem of getting, you know, from 99.9% mm-hmm. availability to 99.999 kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? So those are the outcomes that we want. And then the technology is the enablement piece of that. Okay. But, you know, what we learned over the course of the you know, of launching in 2019 is we launched really quick. You mm-hmm. know, we spun out this platform in a little over than a year mm-hmm. With a very small team. We weren't able to spend as much time on it to update it. So I would call that, you know, South Africa version 1.0. We're now launching, you know, GoTime in Philippines. That's mm. going to be 2.0. Mm. But subsequently, you're going to have another country. That'll be it won't be 3.0. It'll be 2.1 mm-hmm. and then 2.2 and so on. So the gap will not be there. And then we'll consistently update the technology as we go. And so the teams themselves, they know that, you know, they have to keep up to date. And obviously, you know, you're a technologist. You want to mm-hmm. work on the latest and greatest technologies, yeah. right? And we promote that, right? As part of kind of our innovation, basically initiative is mm-hmm. that, you know, continue to learn. And if it makes sense and it creates value for us, then let's roll it out.
Mm-hmm. Min, what's next for Time? You can't disclose what countries are next and off the
yeah, I mean, Philippines. I think, you know, our vision is to IPO. Mm-hmm. 4 years from now, mm-hmm. and we don't know where, mm-hmm. but that's our vision. Mm-hmm. So if you work backwards, well, what do we have to do to get there? Mm-hmm. First of all, we have to at least be operating in probably 3 to 4 countries. Mm-hmm. We have to at least be looking at another opportunity in 1 or 2 other countries. Mm-hmm. And for the three or four countries where we are operating, at least 2 of those have to be profitable. Mm-hmm. So that's a simple version of it. But then now we have to go backwards on that vision, right? So if we go back to where we are today, so what do we have to do from a technology standpoint? We have to build a multi-country platform that can support all these offerings from you know, a regional standpoint as well, or a local standpoint. So it's a very tough challenge for us. Mm. And you know, the product still has to continue to deliver value, because at the end of the day, you know, we need to be a business, and we also need to be you know, profitable. Mm.
And in each market, you guys have to have a meaningful market share too. South Africa to have 10%-ish within a few years, that's really impressive. And, you know, hopefully in Philippines, you guys can replicate that success, if not, you know, go further and the markets to come as well.
Yeah.
So, Min, I always like to end with a little bit of a plug in terms of hiring and recruitment. I know that's very difficult these days, yeah. Super competitive, especially in the fintech space. But for those looking to either move within fintech or from another industry to get into it, why time? And are you guys hiring? Let's start with that easy one. Why yeah. are you guys hiring?
We are hiring.
Yeah.
You know, we will continue to hire.
270 today up to...
You know, we're at least, I would say at least 300 plus. Mm-hmm. You know, it also depends on how quickly we launch country 3, for example. Right. But I think what is unique, and I think I mentioned this, is, you know, obviously we have a great culture. Mm-hmm. We were voted top 5 in terms of the best technology companies to work with in 2022. You know, those things are great, right? And I mentioned, like, you know, we've gotten a long ways in terms of actually building and running a bank, mm-hmm. right? But I think for the people who are really interested in joining Time, I think I would actually have to ask them to say, are you willing to learn? Are you willing to adapt? And obviously, you have to be, you know, you have to challenge yourself. Because you know, if you come to time, you're going to be doing a lot, mm-hmm. And you're going to be growing a lot naturally. And I think the biggest difference is you're not only going to be growing vertically but horizontally. Mm-hmm. So it's that natural growth. And if you're up for that challenge, then Time is the place to be. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, then you know, maybe,
don't apply.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the opportunities are there.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're looking for: hungry, passionate people, willing to learn and willing to grow themselves. Yeah.
Okay. Well, great, Min. If I wasn't working at Vietcetera, I might have to apply. But
yeah, maybe I'll give you an offer, maybe a yeah. side hustle.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, Min, thank you so much for sharing about Time's mission, its vision, and of course a little bit about yourself today. And I hope our listeners following today check out Time if you haven't already. And please work with Min. I think that wraps up today's episode. Thanks for joining the studio.
Yeah. Min. And if you're interested, please reach out. You know, just find us on our website or Facebook.
Excellent. Thanks, Min. We'll see you next time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Time is one of the world's fastest growing digital banking groups, globally building high tech and high touch banking experiences in fast growing emerging markets. Established in 2016, Time Vietnam has been the technology hub for Time, bringing together engineering and product people who share a global mission to become serial bank builders, shaping the future of banking through technology. You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.